Shalom everyone, we are in Parashat Hazino. This is one before the last parasha of the Torah. Parashat Hazino is always being read after Rosh Hashanah, sometimes between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, sometimes between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Very special parasha. First of all, visibly, when you look in the Torah itself, it looks different. I hope everybody can see that. But that's a picture of how it looks in the Torah. So if you see on the left, let me just maybe even fold it. Okay. So that's the way it looks like. If you notice, you see on the right, you see a paragraph at the top, and then underneath you see two columns, and then on the left you see two columns, and in the bottom, a paragraph. Okay? The parasha is when the two columns are starting, on the right. Okay? So that's I'm showing it to you from Tikkun Koraim that shows how it looks like in the Torah for somebody who wants to practice the Torah reading. But it is, why is it like this? Because there are six times in the Torah that it is very clear that a certain letter has to start a new page, a new column, okay, in the parchment. One of them is Ve'aida Bam, which the letter Vav of Ve'aida, that's in the Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 28. Ve'aida, so because it is only a few verses before Parashat Hazino, so the column that is that wide, let's say, in the Torah itself, is starting with five lines like this, and then that Parashat Hazino starts, it goes like two columns. That's very visible. Now, this is the only place in the Torah you have two straight columns. Every time you have this spread writing that is not lines right to left, the whole line, this is a song. It's an epic song. It's a poetry, but we know that singing, song, it's a higher level. Why? Because you can deliver a message by singing a song or composing a song that you cannot deliver with words. And many times, the highest level, we know the highest level of art is not writing passages or stories, but writing songs. Because a song delivers a message from a higher level. What is the message of this parasha? This is the last song of Moses. This is his swan song. Because next parasha, Parashat Vezot HaBracha, is not a parasha by itself. It's being read always on Simchat Torah. Finished, then we read the first chapter of Genesis. So this is like, it's not a parasha by itself, as it is more the ceiling. So Hazinu is the last parasha that is read as a Shabbat parasha as usual. That's the last one. Okay, so Parashat Hazinu is chapter 32, verse 1. Hazinu Hashamayim Vadabera. Listen, heavens, and I will speak. V'tishma ha'aretz imrei fi. And the earth will listen to the word, to the saying of my mouth. And then it goes, it's very hard to translate this parasha into English, the same way it's very hard, almost impossible, to translate correctly a song. A song is emotions, vibrations, feelings. The words are just kind of there. So a song has its own rhythm. A song has its own pace. A song has its own vocabulary that is not always, how would I say, grammatically usual, but it is delivering a special message. Well, it's a good song. Okay? So the whole parasha of Hazinu is a song. Okay? What is the song? This is the last words of Moses, and the song has, and there are many ways to explain it. So let's start with the Zohar. But before that, the name of the parasha, Hazinu. Again, it is very, very obvious, whoever studies Kabbalah, we are talking about the month of Moznaim, the Shoresh of the word Moznaim. Every word in Hebrew has a Shoresh. You have to understand, words are, let's say in English, you learn words. Why? English is made of words because the origins of the words in English could be from Latin, German, Hebrew, and Celtic, who knows what, right? French, which is Latin through French, Spanish, Greek, and Roman, okay? In Hebrew, the words are not structured as words, it's structured as formulas. It's like mathematic formulas. Whoever, that's why I said, whoever is trying to study Hebrew, don't study like you're studying European languages, because you get confused, you want to understand. Hebrew is built as structures. Every structure is made of roots, okay? And the root is usually three letters. Most of them are three letters. These three letters are like the XYZ of a formula. Now, what do you want to say? You choose a formula and you put in the XYZ. So you have active, passive, so all kinds like this. Past, present, me, you, what, you know, everything is in one word. In one word. So if you know the structure and you know the Shoresh and you never seen the word, you know what it says. Okay? Why I'm saying that? Because again, to help us, the word Moznaim, that's a noun. Moznaim, the scales, that's a name of the sign of Libra in Hebrew. The Shoresh is Aleph Zayin Nun. The XYZ is Aleph Zayin Nun. Aleph Zayin Nun is used for hearing, ozen, scales, Moznaim, balance, and we know the balance part of the body is in the ear, and it has three arches, like the three column system. Okay? We have also Le'ha'azinu. Ha'azinu is a verb. The verb means listen, plural. Okay? Okay, so what is the Shoresh? Again, Aleph, Zayin, Nun. Another thing that is important about it, Aleph, Zayin, Nun, in, is also Ozen and ear. And ear, in the symbolism of Kabbalah, you know, you have eyes for Sfirat Chochmah, the skull is Keter, eyes Chochmah, the ears Bina, the nose is Zeranpin, the mouth is Malchut. So when you say, when you use the Shoresh Aleph Zayin Nun, okay, we know we're talking about connecting to Bina. So the balance that we know, the balance over here, we are in the month of Moznaim, scales and balance, and we are supposed to reach, to rebalance ourselves after all the bugs we have accumulated during the past year. So now we are here to balance the system. So we had the balancing system of the shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah, which is again, you have three sorts of blowings, right, left, and center. Desire to share, desire to receive, desire to receive in order to share. Okay, Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferet. And here, we have just by mistake a parasha that always in this time, Ha'azinu, which is the Shoresh Aleph Zayin Nun. And again, it has two meanings in this month. And these two meanings happen to coincide because they complement each other. One is the balance agent, which means we are balancing our system, our desires, and that's why we have three stages in the holy days of Tishrei. We're balancing and correcting the left column in the first 10 days, which is the left column. Then we correct it by the end of Yom Kippur, till the end of the holiday of Sukkot, we are balancing and rebuilding the right column. And then Simchat Torah, we are reinstating the central column. So we have three column system. Okay, in the ear, we have three arches. Also an ear, how does that balance happen? You cannot just balance by but just being okay. A lot of people are trying to be okay and they're not balanced. And I don't understand why is it that I'm trying all the time to be okay and I'm not balanced. And the answer is you need godly energy, the life force of God. Otherwise, you're not balanced the same way an airplane cannot be balanced if it doesn't have fuel. It cannot, when the engine is not working because you don't have fuel, then you have to fall. Okay? The same thing, we need the fuel, and the fuel is a life force that is being injected into us during those 22 days of the holidays. 10 days of the Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, 11 days from Yom Kippur till the end of Sukkot, 1 day of Simchat Torah. Outside of Israel, this day is split into two, but that's not for us to discuss. Originally, 22 days, divided into three column system. Here we have Hazinu. So what did we see when we saw in the book? We saw that every page has obvious three parts, right? You have the top, like a doorpost, and two columns, three parts. A normal page in the Torah is one block, right? One long block. But not in other place, in the whole five books of Moses, you have a structure like this, that you have like a doorpost and two columns, right? What do we have? Right, left, and center. And then in the other page, the second half of the parasha, again, you have two columns and a little, right? The bottom. So it's like one big N and one big U, if you're talking in English letters. Okay, Latin letters. So whoever looks at it, it reminds us again, it's again three column system. Right, left, and what's connecting them? The central column. Okay? And why do we have two? Because in order to really balance ourselves, we need to balance the upper side of our consciousness, the spiritual side, that is represented by the three column system of what is called the upper triangle. What's the upper triangle? The three sefirot, chesed, gevurah, and tiferet. And then, but that's not enough. You need also to balance in this realm of physicality. That's a lower three columns. That's a lower triangle. These are netzach, hod, and yesod. So now you have a complete balancing system, which is called Zeranpin. This is the system through which we connect to when we make the effort to connect to our own spirituality. Okay? So, and you see that physically in this parasha. And the name is Ha'azinu. Again, the Shorish Ozen. We have the connection to the upper world to be fed, and the balancing system to make it work. Every car needs to go once in a while to the garage for balancing the system and making sure that the source of energy flows properly. Okay? Without that, the system will destroy itself. Okay? So this is the purpose, the first purpose of this parasha. And now the gift for us, we'll read it this year after Yom Kippur. Usually it's after Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur and between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, or on one of them. Now, the point is like this. We're getting a gift. All those 20 days are gifts being given to us day by day, hour by hour. These are the most happy days of the year, unless you want to be really in disgrace, which means not to be thankful is a great disgrace, that we're being given such an opportunity to clean the bugs in our system, to refuel ourselves by simply letting go of the nonsense of day-to-day life and allowing that light to come inside, clean ourselves, clean our soul, and lift us up. Now, what else do we have in this parasha? Now, first of all, the Zohar is asking, we have an alarming reaction when we read the words. It says, Ha'azinu ha-shamayim v'adabera. Listen, heaven, and I will talk. Okay? In a harsh way. V'tishma ha'aretz imrei fi. And the earth will hear the words of my mouth. Now, the Torah is saying this is very harsh words. Like, and who's talking? Moses. He's talking to whom? The heaven and the earth. What's in it? So says the Zohar, Parashat Hazino in Perusha Sulam, verse 6. Hazino Hashemayim Vadabera. Listen the heavens and I will talk. Rabbi Chiya Amar, Rabbi Chiya said, Zaka'a chulakei de Moshe, happy is Moses, yatir mikol nevi'i alma, more than all the prophets of the world. Tachazi, come and see. K'tiv, it is said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, Shim'u shamayim, also Isaiah, the prophet, he also spoke to the heaven and the earth. He said, listen, or hear, heavens, and listen, earth. Ki Hashem diber, because God spoke. Shimu shamayim, Isaiah, that was not as powerful and as high as Moses, he was farther from the king, says the Zohar, than Moshe. He says, hear heavens. Moses said, listen heavens. Okay? And he continues, we learn the same time that Isaiah said, listen, hear heavens and listen earth. Kama balei din izdamnu lishbor et rosho. Some big judgment angels came to break his head. These are the words. יצא קול ואמר, and a voice came and said, מי הוא זה שרוצה להריש עולמות? Who is the one who's making noise in the upper world? So then said, and immediately Isaiah added, לא אני, לא שלי, it's not me and it's not mine. כי השם דיבר. What is Isaiah saying? In his verse in Isaiah chapter 1, listen heavens, hear heavens, listen, earth, ki Hashem diber, because God spoke. It's not me, it's God spoke. Oh, okay, it's God. Okay? I don't know, but if I'm going to scream to the heavens and to the earth, nobody will react. So Isaiah was not just a small little guy, okay? And he's still a very famous celebrity, some 26, 27 centuries later. Okay, so remember, so his words are very famous and it's written all over the world and his prophecies are, we can see them coming true just in front of our eyes. So we're not talking about somebody, but he could not speak directly to the heaven and the earth. Oh, it's God's words. However, about Moses, what does it say? Listen, heavens, and I will talk. I, not somebody else, says the Zohar. אני ולא אחר. ואדברה, אדברה means the many words that people speak, but this one is speaking harsh without fear. ותשמע ארץ ימי פי, and the earth will listen to the words of my mouth, and not from somebody else, my mouth. Okay? So it's a very, very affirmative, very assertive. What is it, what's going on? אשרי חלקו, praiseworthy is Moshe, Moses. אמר רבי אבא, באותיות חקוקות לרבי אלעזר, אמר האזינו השמיים והדברה, ותשמע הארץ. In the words, האזינו השמיים והדברה, ותשמע הארץ, you have the code of the name of Hashem, the tetragrammaton. Of course, Moses did not speak on his own just because of his ego. God forbid. And Rabbi Abba says, in the word ha'azinu, there's a yud, of the yud kevavke in the middle of the word, ha'shamayim starts with a hey, v'adabera is with a vav, v'tishma ha'aretz with a hey, yud kevavke. So, the holy name of God is hidden. Still, Moshe is not coming with his own agenda, he is representing God's he's a messenger. So what the question is, what's in it for? Just to speak about how great Moses was. So there are many, many commentaries. I read a lot of commentaries and it's like, I didn't feel like I have a real powerful spiritual message. One of them is very simply, Rashi says, why did Moses bring the heaven and the earth as witnesses? Well, they spoke about it on for when we learn about Rosh Hashanah that we need two witnesses. And on Rosh Hashanah, you cannot have negative testimony about people because one of the witnesses, the moon, is hiding. So you have heaven and earth, okay? So there was a secret behind it. We spoke about it. So why did he bring the heaven and the earth to witness? Said Moses, I am, says Rashi, is quoting from a Midrash, I am flesh and blood. Tomorrow I'm done, I'm gone. He was really, it was just his last day. If the nation of Israel are going to claim we did not accept the covenant, who can say you're lying? Huh? I'm not going to be there. So I'm bringing over here the heavens and the earth to testify for the covenant, which means you cannot run away from that. We all have a covenant. The moment we are being brought to earth, the moment we come to reincarnate into another body, it says that before we come in, we're being sworn to just simply follow our destination, which is to be in the image of God, to create a better world, and to earn, finally, the great world the Creator created for us. However, we have a body, and we have the evil inclination that we hope to overcome. Otherwise, it doesn't worth it. Okay, but sometimes, we know many, many times, too many times, you know, we think about it, and that the evil inclination takes over, the body takes over, and then we claim to forget totally what is your calling, what is our calling. We are not here to mess it up. We are not here to destroy the world. We are here to balance the world, first of all, balancing ourselves. So how do we get the guarantee, says Rashi, the big commentator of the Torah, and he says, the heaven and the earth. Why? If the heaven and the earth see that we are really following the covenant, which means we're really living by our calling and our destiny, then the heaven will give its rain and the earth will give its fruits, and finally we'll have a will have a great life. But when we see that the heavens and the earth are not giving the bliss anymore, only disasters, hurricanes, droughts, too much rain, and whatever, the earth is becoming dry, we know we are doing something wrong. And what does the Torah say? When the witnesses are coming to testify about somebody and he has to be punished, the witnesses have to punish him first. Okay, you've been there, you're behind it, so you will be the messenger. So they will be the messengers. They will be, and so the heavens won't give rain. It's going to be not in its time and not as much as the earth needs. And the earth is not going to give its yield. Okay, and then that will be a very, very obvious message that we are not living by our calling. Okay, so that's one thing. That's one thing. But still, there's another, but still, why, if we read the whole parasha, the whole song, it's basically a repetition of whatever Moses said till now in the whole book of Dvarim, but it's condensed into a song. It is Musar. What is Musar? Musar means it is talking to us about being better. Okay? That's Moses' legacy. He's like, just before he leaves this world, he wants us to remember what we're here for. So it's the message is to be again, to rebalance ourselves. But then the nicest explanation I read was by the Ohev Israel, the Opti Rebbe. Okay, he lived in the Ukraine some 200 years ago. And he says, this is like when the righteous person wants his people, his generation, to improve, okay? And he's really, I won't say preaching, he doesn't say preaching, he's saying giving them musar, giving them words of wisdom in order to make them change their ways, okay? With his sweet tongue, which means it has to be sweet. אחים כל זה שאינם נכנסים בליבם, בליבם דבריו הנעימים. But you see, many, many times, even a righteous person can speak sweetly to a person with a lot of love, with a lot of empathy, with a lot of care, but the person who hears the words is not there. He simply set up his mind just to continue to mess up because, you know, we all have those moments. We hear the words, comes from here, goes from there. We know it is right, but we already have a mind is set to do something that we know it's not good for us. But we'll have this like instant and temporary relief, and you know, that's okay for us. We'll pay the consequences later. We all go through that. So it doesn't help. Not always you can come to someone with all the sweetness in the world, with all the love and the affection, and that's not, and it's not always helping. Why? מחמת כי נתמתם ליבם, מרוב כאבן, מרוב התאבות. Because when we are obsessed with lust of all kinds of desires, bodily, physical desires, like, you know, pride and ego and food and sex and money and all the pleasures of the physical elusive world, okay, that makes our brain kind of dumb and blocked. Okay, and then when we follow those emotions that we follow with actions, that even makes it more sticky. And therefore, says the Opti Rebbe, there's no place in people's heart for the words of wisdom and the words of love and sweetness of a righteous person, that even he will talk to the person with so much love, with so much sweetness, with so much wisdom, they don't care. It's like that they're blocked. You can't hear anything. לזאת מלמדת ומרמזת לנו תורה קדושה. So the Torah is hinting to us that you can't, when a person in his death stage, or a crowd, a nation, okay, people all over the world, that's where we are at right now. Whatever you talk to people, people are so obsessed with their own, as he says, with his their own lust for, you know, instant and fulfillment, no matter what the price is. It could be drugs, could be shopping, buying, any kind of fulfillment. We in the instant culture of instant high. אצאו גנת, so there is another way. שידבר הצדיק דברי מוסר ותוכחה אל שורש נשמתם. So the righteous man who wants people to really transform, let him speak directly to the root of the people's soul. Okay? Because the brain and the heart are not capable, they're blocked. Nobody is there, nobody is listening. And by this, by speaking to the root of their soul, he will bring bliss to their souls so they can get his words and his teachings also below. And that's why when Moses is saying, "Ha'azinu ha'shamayim v'adabera," he is talking to the heavens. He is commanding the heavens to listen. And he's talking harshly. Who is talking to? To the heavens? No, he's talking to our souls. To that part inside us that is imprisoned behind the physical body and the physical desires and drives. That part which is hostage by the physical appearance, Moses is speaking directly to the core of every person's soul. ואז ממילא תשמע הארץ שהיא גוף הגשמי ופי. So if, when the soul really gets it, you can go through right into the soul, then the earth, which is the body, is going to hear the words. וזהו כוונת סבי סבא דתונה, והיו אפיקורסים ולא האמינו בזה. לכן שאלו, היי גברא דאזיל ובאי תתא ולא הבלי, מה חזי דאזיל לדוכתא דמיד למיני? אנו כיוון שמקודם דיבר על אנשי דורו דברי מסר ותוכחה. ולא עשינו דבר ולא שום בקולו, מה שמדבר אחר כך את שורש נשמתם אשר רוחני. לזה השיב להם מתן הקדוש, תשובה ניצחת בזה דשקיל סיכתה דצה לתתה, ולא היה לרצה רמז להם בעשייתו הזאת, שלתת עלה יכול להיות, מחמת שאין מקום פנו וחלול. אבל אלא שאין שם שליטה ואחיזה להם, אז יש מקום למעל שמיים, ואבין זה איתם. He's reminding the story from the Mishnah about this Tana. He came to that community, tried to talk to them about changing their bad ways, didn't listen. So he changed, he spoke differently, for totally spiritually. Why is it they talk right to the spiritual aspect? There's no darkness over there. Talking to the body, you can't talk. The ears are blocked, the heart is blocked, everything is blocked. Now, if you read the words of Moses in Parashat Ha'azinu, just the English translation, it doesn't matter how terrible the translation would be, but it looks like harsh words. It is poetry. With many, many, many hidden messages. That's why it can take months just to explain, because translating poetry is not possible. Like if you go to verse 6 chapter 32, it says, do you think you're doing it to God? And then he gives like this, I'm naval, I don't know how it's written. You know, just saying that is very hard, but it's like, it's talking to a nation that is naval. It's like a terrible people. ולא חכם, and not wise. הלא הוא אביך קנך, he is your father. הוא עשך ויכונך, he made you. Okay? So, these are very harsh words. But then, inside, if you look at that verse in Hebrew, you have the would you, that, you know, it's really a one big hey. And another, and one big hey, if you know a little bit Kabbalah, you know that there are three sizes of letters in the Torah. And a big letter connects to Bina. And here you have a big hey that is a standing alone letter. Okay, you don't have letters like this in the Torah. Standing alone letter, a big one, connecting to Bina. Yud Kei, Vav Kei, the upper hey, that's Bina. To show we have an influx of or insert of a lot of light. So it looks like it's harsh words, but in the harsh words, it's talking directly to cleanse our souls so the body will be following and be cleansed also. And that is the message of the whole 22 days of the holidays. We don't really understand what's going on. A lot of us can go around, go along and think, it's like, you know, it's a high holidays, but I don't feel anything. You know, especially you're not in Israel, or even in Israel, you know, a lot of people don't get it. You know, Yom Kippur, you get it because in every city in Israel, it's like Yom Kippur, nobody drives, even secular people. It's so dangerous to drive. Why everybody, especially the kids, are out in the streets on bicycles and all kinds of wheels and skates or whatever you call it. You're like, driving is a nightmare. You can't. Nobody almost drives on Yom Kippur. And, of course, the pollution goes down miraculously a whole 26 hours with no cars on the street, no bus transportation, no trains, nothing. Nothing. No TV, no radio. It's very hard to get away from that and not feel something is happening. It's a time for contemplation. Okay? But still, you can be busy watching TV the whole day, right? Watching movies or playing games or inviting friends and playing, I don't know, chess or whatever games you have today. Today there's so many games people play. Okay, so what? So you can ignore Yom Kippur. And the whole 3 weeks you can get yourself busy with something else. Still, the process is happening. Which what the Torah is saying over here, Moses is teaching us, God speaks directly to our souls during these days. We want it or not, we are going to change during these 3 weeks. Now, how we're going to see that happening during the coming year? Okay, some of us will have to go through a lot of trials and tribulations. Because we don't want to listen. And some of us, because we listen, we will go through trials and tribulations during the coming year, but we'll be able to use them for growth and transformation. But these 3 weeks, it's happening, we want it or not. We are present or we are not present. Okay, so that's mostly that about it. There's another thing, there's a little yud in this parasha. Marked it before. It's in the word Teshi. But if you read the words, it's not nice words. And there are many prophecies of punishments for if we don't follow God's rules. But here it is really talking directly to the soul. Like music. Music speaks to the soul. It does speak to the logic. It's not the left brain that music talks to, it speaks to the right brain. Okay. Yeah, that's, you can find in chapter 32, verse 18. you have tzu yeladecha teshi, and the yud of the word teshi is a tiny yud. So you have the three columns twice. You have the big A, which is Bina. We have a small yud, which is Malchut, correcting Malchut, the vessel, small letters. Okay? And it's very, as I said, very harsh words. We have to see that these words, when we read them, these words are supposed to get right into our soul, to when the soul is strengthened, then the soul can overcome the body and finally win. So it's not terrifying punishment, but it is a healing and balancing. That's what this parasha is about. The same is Rosh Hashanah, the same is about Yom Kippur, the same is about Sukkot, the same is about Simchat Torah. Whatever we see, it's all about it. The amazing verses in this parasha. Each verse can take a whole lesson by itself for each verse, because each verse has so many deeper meanings. But as I said, you know, trying to explain a song is not appropriate. So what I'm asking for you is to read the parasha, read it from the Torah. If you can read it from the Hebrew, read it from the Hebrew. You can read it from a translation. Try to read from the translation, but don't stick to the words. Try to get to the spirit of the things. Try to read few translations, because maybe with few translations we're going to get some of it. But the end of the parasha is chapter 32, verse 48. And Hashem spoke to Moses on that same day, which is the day that Moses left this world, was the 7th of Adar. But it has a connection to this week, this Paimoso, as we said before. Ale el har avarim, go to the Mount Nebo, in the land of Moab, in front of Yericho, ure'et erz Kanaan, and look, and you will be able to see the land of Canaan, that I'm giving the children of Israel as inheritance. And then in many other places, it says when Moses went to the mount, he saw everything. He saw the past, he saw the present, he saw the future of all generations till the coming of Mashiach. He connected to the holiness of the land. Why did not enter the land with the Israelites? As we read, the Zohar said before, God said to Moses, look, sometimes the sun needs to set so the moon and the stars can shine. And then it says, verse 50, and die umut bahar, and die in that mount, asher ata ole shama, that you go up to, ve'asef el amecha, kasher met aron achicha, like your brother Aaron died in Hor ha'har, ve'asef el amav. And it finished, verse 22, ki mineget tireh et ha'aretz, v'shama lo tavo el ha'aretz, asher ani noten livnei Yisrael. You're going to see the land from afar, but you won't go into that land. It's not the time yet. I'm giving this land to the children of Israel. This is basically kind of the completion of the Torah. As we said, we have Parashat Vezot HaBaracha. That will be the end of the Torah that is going to be read only on Simchat Torah, which is, this is the blessing that Moses blessed the nation of Israel and the 12 tribes just before he left. But that's the story. So we have to understand, and we have to understand from Parashat Ta'azinu also, that whatever is happening to each one of us every day, it's only from God, because there's nothing but God. Even our bodies, even our dark side, even our evil inclination are all serving one purpose, which is to bless us with the option to ascend, to overcome, to recreate ourselves, so we can step up and shine by ourselves. We cannot have Moses to do it for us. We cannot have the Messiah to do it for us. No one can do it for us. That's a whole basic thing about monotheism, that we were created in his image, and therefore we have to attach ourselves to God. And the way to attach yourself to God is by becoming like him. He is the creator. We have to create ourselves. We cannot be victims. We have to take whatever is happening and create good out of evil, light out of darkness, sweet out of bitterness. That's why we sweeten the bread that we eat the whole period of 3 weeks. We dip it in salt and in honey. Okay? All of that is, now it is very concentrated because these are the seeds for the whole year long. But if we get it, we'll have to be like this the whole year round, which means along the year, every time something happens, we have to understand it's only for the good. And even though it looks like it's harsh, unacceptable, it's not justice, whatever, it's all for the good. We have that intention to find it and to overcome it and to ascend behind, above it. We'll be able to have an amazing year full of bliss. And now is the time to simply instill that consciousness, balance it, hazinu, the balance, ozen, and fill it up with positive energy so we have an amazing positive year. Thank you so much.